choir practice today at 5:15, and you're invited to come and start in the choir. And our choir will pick up when everybody gets well and everybody gets back, and we look forward to that. So tonight we're going to continue our series in gender confusion, gender and marriage tonight. And I'll tell you a little funny this week. I went to the website and it says that our website has been suspended. And I said, well, they didn't like my message on gender. So I tried to call them people, finally got them. And what it was, we didn't pay our bill. And because we didn't get the email, you know. Yeah, it wasn't they're supposed to send emails to the church, and then we pay Bluehost for another year or two or 3 years for hosting the website. And but we got that straight and got it back up. I thought they, with all that's going on with Kavanaugh, I thought they done shut me down, you know, but anyway, it's back up. But next Sunday morning I want to bring a very encouraging message, three or four messages on the blessed hope, on the rapture of the church. Not the second coming at the Battle of Armageddon at the end of tribulation when we come with him, but he's going to take us to heaven before that at any moment. And so we're going to begin looking at 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians 15 next week. But right now we're going to finish 3 John. So let's go to 3 John. Somebody told me there was Big John, Little John, and Smaller John, but we're in 3 John tonight. 3 John chapter 9, verse 9 through 14, chapter 1. There's only one chapter, right? Which man are you? 3 John is written by John when he got off the Isle of Patmos, many people believe, to a man named Gaius, or somebody say Gaius. And he's giving guidelines for Christian hospitality in the church in regard to each other, in regard to visiting missionaries. Because there was a man in the church that wasn't doing what he should be doing, and his name was Diotrephes. And we'll be looking at him this morning as well as the other two. Now, the book centers on the reputations of 4 men. And we ask the question, which man are you, or which woman are you? Last week we looked at Gaius in verses 1 through 8, a man with the right balance. More than ever, I believe that we as Christians should be people of right balance in our Christian life. Not go to one extreme or the other, but be a person of balance. And tonight we're going to pick up with Diotrephes, a man with a bad attitude. Did I get that right on the screen? Yeah, because I changed that, his title right there. A man with a bad attitude. He was bad to the bone, to the negative. And so if you will, let's stand in honor of God's word. And we're going to just read verses 9 through 10, although we're going to preach all the way down to 14, but do it very quickly. Diotrephes. After he got through commending Gaius, he condemns Diotrephes. This is John the Apostle. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. In other words, he didn't show the church the letter that Paul wrote. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, talking about the missionaries and the other brethren in the church. Early church would receive missionaries, and they would put them up and treat them well and send them Godspeed on their way, but he wasn't doing that. Forbidding them that they would, and casteth, forbidding the people from treating them properly, not only that, and casting them out of the church. Father, I pray today as we look at the other 3 men in our text, that each of us will evaluate our own walk with you. First of all, we got to have a walk. We got to have come to Christ in repentance and faith, and then we begin the journey of the Christian walk, or the Christian life, and becoming more like Christ. And that's my prayer, that everybody under the sound of my voice is at that destination already. If not, I pray today that you work in their heart and bring them to you. But today, teach us from your word that we would not develop the attitudes of this man, but the next man and the next man. So, Father, I pray you teach us from your word, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. Again, this book centers around four men. We looked at one last week. We're going to look at the other three this morning. Diotrephes, a man with a bad attitude. In our text we read in verses 9 through 10, John moves from a man with the right balance to a man with a harmful agenda. Diotrephes wanted to be the church boss in a negative way. He did not love others. He had an ambitious character or pride and with a dominating spirit. And he even dismissed people from the church who he disagreed with. Now, there are times we do church discipline and we do dismiss people from the church, but it has to be the right reasons, not just because you want to be church boss. So what John does is he admonishes Diotrephes in four areas that we're going to look at this morning, first of all. And then we're going to do well to take heed to what he says to Diotrephes, that our attitude would not be like this. Number one, verse 9, he says, don't be driven by prideful ambition. In verse 9, we read, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence. And he wrote this letter here, and Diotrephes wouldn't even receive the apostle himself. He was a man of great personal pride, wanting preeminence. He wanted to be first. He wanted to be number one. He wanted to be the center of attention, the main attraction. And he usurped authority to even went was supposed to go to Jesus. But he was driven by prideful ambition. I serve with people like that. I have served with people like that, past tense. But not only are we not to be driven by prideful ambition, but also in verse 9, don't display pompous arrogance. Notice what he says, receiveth us not there. He didn't love the apostle, he didn't love the other church members, and he received us not. He was pompous arrogance. He would not receive John the apostles and the missionaries who came, and he kicked people out of the church who treated the missionaries like they should be treated biblically. And what arrogance to usurp the apostle and kick him to the curb. I can imagine Diotrephes telling John, you're too old, your time is past, your time is done, I'm in charge now. Do you know today there are churches today that have kicked Jesus to the curb? They have kicked people in the church to the curb. They don't treat people, older members, seasoned saints in the church as they should treat them. Your time is past. Listen to me up close. Y'all listening? No believer, as long as he's breathing, has his time past. We serve the Lord our whole life. And he wanted to take the place of Jesus. And I said a while ago, there are churches that are doing that. The church at Laodicea was tearing on church without Jesus. Jesus was knocking on the door trying to get in, but they were doing their own thing. And there are many churches like that today. And so I would ask you up front and close today, how do you treat the seasoned saints in the church? God help us. We don't need to ignore them, right? We need to minister to them. We need to let them minister to us. Their time is not past. But so many churches today have moved on with the millennials and forgetting the older folks in the congregation. And that's not the way it should be. And then thirdly, don't deliver perverse accusations with that kind of attitude. Notice verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth. Boy, I wouldn't want the Apostle John on my case, would you? Which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therein, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that they would, and casteth them out of the church. He was dealing with perverse accusations. And we know what that means. If you watch the news, you know what the perverse accusations are, slander. They don't have to be true. You just throw it out there and hope it sticks. If it don't stick, you throw something else out there, right? And then we have a whole political system doing that. But he would deliver these perverse accusations to the church. But John, he was not afraid to confront this troubled man. In verse 10, and also notice verse 14. But I trust I shall shortly see thee and shall speak face to face. And he would take care of Diotrephes. Now I want to ask you a question. Are you willing to confront an erring brother or sister in the body of Christ who has erred in behavior or belief? And if you're not, you don't love them. If not, you don't love them. That's biblical. We need to do that with the right spirit. And John says, I'm going to take care of him in a positive way. Right? When we ignore people who are have the wrong behavior or wrong belief in the church, and I'm not talking about little minutiae of interpretation. I'm talking about people who are not believing the right things about Jesus, then we don't really love them. I hope if I ever err in doctrine or behavior that you would love me enough to come to me, right? And correct me on that. His sick behavior went from ambition to arrogance to accusations to actions. He actually carried it out, having people dismissed from the church. He slandered John the Apostle. He did not respect the missionaries. He stopped those who would receive them and wouldn't let them come to the church and give Christian hospitality to them as they came by the church. And anybody that tried to help these missionaries, he'd kick them out of the church. So the admonition for us is guard our motives. Always ask yourself, why? What is my motive in this? What is my motive? Is it selfish ambition? Is my motive to glorify Christ? Is my glorified to be a help to the church? What about the decisions I make? Are they pleasing to Christ? Are they pleasing to the Word of God? You see, when you interpret the Constitution, it's very similar to interpreting the Bible. We go back to the original authors and get their intent, right? We don't read into it our own biases and our own opinions. Yes, it would be uncomfortable to obey a lot of the teachings of Scripture, but we must do it. What about my tongue? Do I slander other people, not knowing their true motive, not knowing all the story, right? Do I gossip? Do I like to talk about other people? And what are my actions? Boy, do I have a viper's tongue, you know? What are my actions? So we saw Gaius, a man with the right balance, Diotrephes, a man with a bad attitude. But we want to pick up in verse 11 and 12 and see Demetrius, a man with a good testimony. Notice verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. In the context, who's he talking about? Diotrephes, right? He said, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And here is the good. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, John and the other believers, and you know that our record is true. How do we have a good testimony? Well, verse 11 tells us that we need to pursue a godly example. Not only the example of Jesus, certainly, but we need to follow after those that are also following after the Lord. We should imitate Jesus, but we also imitate godly examples. And imitate means to follow or mimic. Who we follow speaks of who we belong to. Can I say it that way? All these cults and all these prosperity gospel preachers and their crowd, you know where that crowd's at by who they go listen to, right? And so who do we follow after? It shows who we belong to. We should be very careful who we watch and who watches us, and be mindful of who watches you, right? People are watching. I went into a restaurant locally, and me and Faye went with Larry and Linda. That'll help tie you down about where we're talking about. And up there on the counter, they had a little tip bottle, and if you want to give a tip to the waitress, or who doesn't, all she does is bring you food. If you want to give a tip to her, there's a little sign on a little bottle said, "Even the Titanic tipped." And there was people around me, behind me, and I didn't want to make a scene. But when I go back and there's nobody around, I didn't want to embarrass the lady. But I'm going to tell her that that's in bad taste. There were thousands of people that died on the Titanic, right? And you don't make light of it by saying, even the Titanic tipped. So I'll find my opportunity to go back. In fact, I may want to go back there today. And just tell them, ma'am, I want to tell you something. As a Christian, that offends me. That's not in good taste. Those people died on that ship. Y'all agree with your pastor? You know? And I'm not going to put no money in there until I get that straight. You know? They're not going to get my quarter till later on. But see, I was mindful of, I didn't want to chide her, or it wasn't even her that did it, probably. Right in front of people, you know, I'm not, but I'll have my opportunity to lovingly call her aside and say why that is wrong to put it on that way. So if we're gonna have a good testimony, now I haven't always done that. My own family knows that, right? Hey, we need to pursue a godly example. But secondly, in verse 12, we need to possess a good testimony. Notice what verse 12 says: Demetrius have a good report of all men, and of the truth itself, and we also bear witness and know that our record is true. John gives here in verse 12 a threefold witness of Demetrius. He has a good witness from everyone. Secondly, he has a good witness of the truth itself. And he has a good witness from John and the other Christians in the church. Right? So, we need to be like Gaius and Demetrius. We don't need to be like Diotrephes. Now look at the last man in verses 13, 14. It's John himself. Have a pastor's heart. Look what it says, verse 13. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you, write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. Our friends salute thee. Greet thy friends by name. What do we learn here? Well, we all desire the presence of fellow believers in verse 13. John was looking forward to meeting the Christians again and seeing them face to face. Nothing can substitute for you being here today with other believers, right? Yes. And that's important. We don't have nothing in common with those out there, but we have everything in common with those in here. So we look forward to being at church with other believers. He wanted to be in the presence of these fellow believers who he taught, and many of them, I'm sure, led to the Lord. And then in verse 14, he wanted to desire peace of fellow believers. Look at it again very closely. We can learn a lot just from this. He says, "But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name." And I know now that times have changed. The way people communicate has changed, but I think many times a letter, an email, or a text just won't do, although I do send those out. I believe they are poor substitutions for personal interaction face to face, right? And I hope y'all get my drift here. They didn't have Twitter, Instagram, email, text. You might say, well, if they had them, they'd use them. I don't know about that, but I know face-to-face is the best communication you can have, right? And by the way, this is the only place in the New Testament where another believer calls other believers friends. He says, greet believers by name. Boy, howdy. What can we learn here? Well, when we greet one another, call them by their name. If you don't know their name, learn their name, right? Say what I say. My name's Ken, and I done forgot yours, you know. Or what is your name, right? We ought to know, every believer here ought to know every person in this church by name. Is that too much? And greet them when you meet them in the hall, meet them in the fellowship time. Hey, Bobby, how are you doing? And look Bobby right in the eyes. Not like them protesters who said, look me in the eye. But look me in the eye. There's just something about looking a person in the eye, even if you have to get on a step stool like I do. Look them in the eye, right? Call them by name, look them in the eye, and spend some time with them. Don't be looking over their head. Who else can be advantageous to you to know and greet, right? I cannot stand that. Greet them by name, look them in the eye, shake their hand. Do like I do many times. I not only shake their hands, but I take the other hand and put it up near the elbow. I got a good grip on them. They can't get away from me, you know. You know, that's the best way to communicate, don't you think, Brother Ray? And now they may think you haven't been friendly with them and you're fixing to put them in some kind of wrestling move and throw them over your shoulder. I don't know. You see, I don't like to correspond by letters. Don't send me a letter. Talk to me face to face. And if you got a beef, don't do it before I preach. Right? People do that. 5 minutes before I'm about to preach, they come up to me and say, "Pastor, I'm leaving the church." You think I can get up and preach then? Right? Remember, we had about 9 do that on one Sunday. We might as well have shut the doors and went home. But I think it goes a long way in being in the presence of other fellow believers and fellow believers having this peace with them, interacting with them, calling them by name, looking them in the eye, and listening to them. You come up to me with prayer concerns before the church. That's why I walk around with a bulletin, so I can write things down, right? And if I ever don't look at your eye, you say, just slap me side the head and say, "Look at me," you know? And listen to you, because that's one of my drawbacks, is sometimes I don't listen and I get things wrong. And so I appreciate that. So which man are you? Are you balanced? Are you like Diotrephes here? You got a bad attitude? Are you like Demetrius? You have a good testimony? Are you like John, a pastor's heart, caring for the sheep? You do know that it's just not my responsibility to care for the sheep, but it's every believer's responsibility, right? I got an encouraging letter today, this week, from a lady, and she always sends me those cards and says, "Thank you for putting up with us, and thank you for caring and being there for us," right? Listen, it does not tax me whatsoever. I don't put up with you. That is my calling, okay? You do it from a pastor's heart, right? People say, "Well, I'm going to have surgery Tuesday. They're going to put me to sleep, but you don't need to be there. You might as well, you're whistling Dixie. I'll be there," right? If I can be there. So which man are you? A man with the right balance? A man with a bad attitude? A man with a good testimony? Or a man with a pastor's heart? Father, as our musicians come, thank you for this little letter on Christian hospitality. We see the positive and the negative. Help us not to be like Diotrephes, but that we may be like Gaius, walking in the truth, commended by the church. And be like Demetrius, a man with a good testimony. And be like the Apostle John, a man with a pastor's heart, a shepherd's heart. So, Father, whatever it is, whether it's salvation, there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ, they can't go any further. None of this applies to them unless they're saved. I pray today you'll convict them of their sin, that they're going to send them to hell for eternity. But Christ paid that sin on Calvary 2,000 years ago, approximately. And he took that sin, and if we just come to him in repentance and faith, he'll give us the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. Whatever it might be. And by the way, it just doesn't stop there. You can't go back off into the world and live in like the world and say, "My sins have been forgiven." Repentance carries with it acts of repentance, evidence of repentance, evidence of a changed life. So today, Father, I pray that you do your work, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, if you're